Shabbat Shalom. The title of our remarks today is Better Than Yesterday, Fighting Mediocrity. And I'm Brother Javon Orin Meekins Love. You don't hear my full name very often, but there it is before you. Today is the 22nd. We just finished up with one season. We are in the Omer count. I'd like to begin with a quote from a noted 18th and 19th century scholar, Isaac de Israeli. And it's about basically leaving a bad taste in your mouth. It is a wretched taste to be gratified with mediocrity when the excellent lies before us. Many times in our society, we're not taught to really strive for the best things that we can do, to go higher, and we've got those examples, or a few examples like that are in the Bible. When it comes to the faith, mediocrity is not something that Yahweh calls us to strive for. The very name of being set apart gives it away that there is something else. He's calling you from that to come and be even singular. If it's called from one family, if it's a whole family, Yahweh is calling you out to be something better than what you already were. Now, the root of mediocrity, of course, is mediocre, and it's of moderate quality. It's not very good. We can call it average. Synonyms, or let's think about it, are ordinary. And of course, synonym, for those who are younger populace, it's basically words that mean the same thing. Ordinary, average, middle of the road, uninspired, undistinguished, indifferent. That's one word I've come to hate. Unexceptional, unexciting, unremarkable, run-of-the-mill, pedestrian, prosaic, lackluster, forgettable, and amateur. Of all those, certainly indifferent. I mean, I've had people basically just say, I don't care either way. I just exist. It's not a word that I'm very happy with. Our first scripture that I'd like to take a look at today, Revelation 3:16, and it's about being lukewarm. This is what mediocre and mediocrity can lend itself to. Because lukewarm is just there in the middle. It's comfortable. It's after doing a task. You're sitting there and you're just watching life go by. But you are only warm, not hot, not cold. And this does not come out of the King James. This is one of those basic Bible English. I thought I liked this translation. So I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth. Yahweh does not want to call somebody that is not going to strive to be better. Because at the end, when Messiah returns, he's calling out those that are his. And if you haven't striven to do the best that you can and to use what Yahweh has given you from birth, and then even more as you've developed and you see other things, how can you excel? How have you reached for that next rung? How has we have even, as lights to the world that we're supposed to be, have we extended that to those who are outside? How have we helped, quote unquote, save a soul? What testimonies have we given besides we're not troublemakers? We can't be lukewarm. We cannot be warm. Yahweh would prefer that we either care for him or we're worldly, hot or cold. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whitherest thou go. Now, though, of course, there are those, and we have the tales of you die and you go to purgatory. Purgatory is where those things that you couldn't work out in this life help to get worked out so you can move on to that next level. And then, of course, there's those who believe that you go to Hades or you go to heaven and you play your harp. This is not a scriptural thing. However, in this life, we're supposed to strive, whatever our hands find to do. As a kid, and I can't say I always followed the teachings that my parents gave me, because I guess I lacked motivation. I didn't see a payoff at then. But as an adult, I look back and I see the things that I could have done, that I should have done, that I didn't. But it doesn't matter if you're signing your name to a test or homework Or if you just put your hand to do something, you just put your name on that. Not only did you put your name on it, but you put your parents' name on it. Excuse me. There was a brother here at a time, and he said his mom would tell him, don't forget whose son you are, because you're carrying that name. If your parents went to a school and then you come along 20, 30 years later, and some of the same teachers are there, they'll remember your parents, and they'll know you, and they'll judge. They'll make that judgment. Your homework, your play, how you treat others, whatever you find to do, do it with your best. Don't let an environment shape what you do, because at the end of the day, you have to stand up in front of the judge for how you lived your life. You can't point the finger, as so many times I had a bad upbringing. You know, I come from a single parent household. As a child, I say you have that crutch. As an adult, you don't have that crutch so much. You have to go ahead and finally grow up. An old adage is you got to pull your pants up by the boots, or some stirrups by the boots. You have to stand up and you have to take accountability for yourself. Ephesians 6, 7 through 8. Let's turn that off. With goodwill doing service as to the master and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the master, whether he be bond or free. So, I got a great one. When you are at your house, and a lot of times in this society, we've built so many hedges around our houses, around our lives. Only certain people get in. I would have to say that even out of a lot of people I know, if I didn't call, I didn't email, I didn't text, and I just randomly showed up at somebody's door and knocked, I'm sure I would get all types of funny looks. Why didn't you call? But I would gamble, I would wager that if somehow or another you could identify who Yahshua was, what exactly he looked like, or a messenger, and they knocked at your door, the reception would be a full 180. You would not give them the look. What are you doing here? Have you lost your way? You would welcome them in because they are special. But herein we have this verse that it says that we're supposed to be doing these things as if we were doing it to the master. Sometimes I wonder how Abraham in the Old Testament knew when he looked up, when he was sitting at his tent and those messengers came. What was it about them that made them stand apart? But he knew who they were. And he rolled out the red carpet, get the butter, get the bread, slaughter the fatted calf. I think, though, I do not think we could totally transform this world. One of the reasons that this world is the way it is because we've gotten colder. We've become complacent, lukewarm. We are more worried about the empire building than the society that surrounds us, of how to help transform. We can't do it all by ourselves. So obviously, when Yahshua comes back, that's where the fix is going to be. And it's going to be work. It's going to be work. But what are we doing now to be exceptional? What are we doing now to stand out? A lot of people think that we're weird. They do. They don't know us. Could we say they don't take the time to know us? That could be it. Could it also be said that we don't take the time for them to get to know us? Are we putting ourselves out there? Are we willing to extend? Are we willing to, the extrovert, to step forward a little bit and be a little bit of an introvert? Not totally. Everybody can't be me. And for the extrovert to even step back a little bit or do more. There are persecutions that happen sometimes in the world because people think that those of the different walks of faith, and there are many branches of the faith out there, many denominations. Or in Russia right now, the Jehovah Witnesses are being persecuted for being an extremist group. I have no clue what they're doing. But they are being viewed as that right there. And many times people think they can't come to these shores, but I tell people, don't think that it cannot happen. We are not an exception. We rule differently. But persecutions happen all over the world. I'd like to go to Luke 19:13, talking about mediocrity. We're going beyond that. Luke 19:13 reads, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." Now, these are things that Yahweh has given us. Now, we all know the parable of the talents. Maybe some people don't. A master was going away to handle some business, and he gave his servants some talents, some type of physical money. This can represent in us, what has Yahweh given us that we can grow? Or are we just going to sit back and be part of the assembly? Just watch. And maybe if we're called upon, do something, maybe. But never actually say, hey, I want to be that arrow today. He goes away, he comes back, he calls his servants to be accountable. One says, hey, what you gave me, I multiplied it 10 times. The next one, what you gave me, I multiplied it 5 times. And the one, he just hid it away. That would be the person, we would call that the person who is kind of mediocre. Was it mediocre because of fear? Well, the master said, you already knew who I was, so why didn't you at least do that? Go in a direction, do something, but do not sit on the talents that I gave you. Don't embrace mediocrity. Be better. Matthew 19:16-22. This is a good one. This is the rich man that comes to Yahshua. And at first he enters a good master. Yahshua being all that he is, he says there's only one good. But he wants to know, how do I live forever? How do I put on eternity? Yahshua starts to lay it out for him. And you know, the funny thing about this, and I've talked to a brother, he says it seems, if you want to try to read between the lines, we cannot say that. But the guy cut Yahshua off. Yahshua doesn't even get all the commandments. All he says, keep the commandments. Which commandments? Starts to list them off. And then it stops. The guy says, I've been keeping them since my youth. Did he cut them off? I don't know. But then it becomes the aha moment. Aha. He raises the bar for him. He gives him something else. Okay, you've got great. This guy has a lot of stuff, a lot of things. And Yahshua says, okay, you got the commandments down pat. You've been keeping them from your youth. Good, that's good. But, and there's always that but, I have something else for you. You can be better. At your success, you can be a success. Because it can be easy to get to the top and be a success. Best in your field. And then it can be easy to be complacent. And complacency and mediocrity are kind of cousins. So he tells them, sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. He doesn't say, give it to me. He says, give it to the poor. And follow me, and I will give you something better. And though we don't have the story of how this guy acquired it, was it a silver spooner? Did he work blood, sweat, tears to acquire everything that he got? He earned it. He knows the price to succeed. We don't know that. All we know is that the guy basically walked away sad because he had great possessions. And I'd like to think that he actually worked for those things. He didn't want to just part with them. But we don't have that side of the story. But what we have is, he wasn't driven quite enough. He did not see the potential of greatness that lay beyond the success of success, of still rising. And the question we have to ask is, what's holding us? It's not always that we are mediocre. Some of us are very good at what we do, but then once you master one thing and you say you have 100 years and you're only 40 years old and you've got 60 years, what else are you going to go on to achieve and try to master? We can't be complacent. Now, the question is, but are you a different animal and the same beast? And this is taken from actually from a commercial that I found funny, but it applies. So I'm going to kind of go back and forth. And the question is, how much more do you want from me? More. How much more successful do you want me to be? More successful. How many records can my records break? More records. But I'm the best. But are you a different animal and the same beast? What on earth does that mean? You're welcome. What's he talking about? Are you a different animal but the same beast? And what this implies is that we are all the same. We're humans. There's only, no matter what somebody tells you, we've gotten lazy with that language, what is what we have. There's only one race upon the face of the earth, and that's the human race. It's scientific. And I love talking with my atheist friends who say, oh, well, you guys, you just have your Bible and you guys don't like science. I'm like, I love science. Science has given me a lot of things. You see these glasses that are on my face? It enables me to be able to see faces. I can't see anybody's eyes without my glasses on. Science has done good things. It has its place. But science says there's only the human race. That's what Yahweh made. There's Adam. There's Eve. There wasn't Jim and LaRonda and all those others. He started with one. We have all come from that. That being said, everybody is a human race, but not everybody is the same animal. Not everybody is brought to achieve. Not everybody is driven to achieve. There was an athlete, and athleticism is used also in the Bible, where Paul says, run that race to the end. But there's an athlete who said he won a championship, and then he sat in the locker room while everybody's spraying champagne and whooping it up, and he's thinking to himself, now what? He wasn't satisfied with just winning one or three. He said he wasn't satisfied with just being an all-star. He wanted to be an all-time great. Mediocrity and complacency weren't something that could be found in him. He wanted to go on and beyond. He won the championship, and he was already at the next moment, not even sitting on his laurels. We have to passionately and lovingly protest mediocrity, but to just watch it sit there amidst the garden and not grow or just sit there and not produce. Yahweh talks about the plants that don't produce. They get hewn off, thrown into the fire. You're going to be good for one thing or the other. The master told those Pharisees when they asked, why don't your disciples, why aren't they fasting? Like John's disciples. There's a comparison already. Oh, John's disciples, they pray a lot and they fast a lot. Well, they've got me here, but once they're gone, they're going to do these things. Sometimes we have to wonder, are we doing enough? Can we do more? And absolutely, I bet we can do more. We wind things down here. I just want you to think about it. Mediocrity basically means no growth. Complacency also means no growth. They're different mentalities, though, because one has very possibly already achieved at the top. Maybe they're at the mountain and they don't see the peak that's hidden behind the next cloud, but they think that they're there. Maybe they're on a plateau or some small summit, and there are chains of mountains all over this world that have ridges and plateaus and more peaks. And the question we ask, are we willing to go on to that next level? Are we willing to be great? Yahshua talks about we can all be great, right? Because we can all serve. The question is, will you put your hand to that plow? There's a lot of plows out there. But to be in this group, and Yahweh has never excluded anyone, one law for the stranger. There's one law for that who's homeborn. Do you want to be part of this? All the same rules govern us. No one's better than anybody. Servant's not greater than the master. The master lowered himself to be a servant. We have the examples. I can't say we all have the time, because no one knows when their day is. No one ever passes away before their time, because everybody is born with a time. But what are you going to do with your time? That is the question. Yahweh says, teach us to count our days. That's what we need to do. May the peace of the Master Yeshua be upon you. Hallelujah.